Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A central witness, Carolyn Bryant Donham, recanted parts of her account of what transpired in August of 1955. Two men confessed to killing Emmett only after they had been acquitted by an all-white jury in Mississippi, but they are now dead. You know the story. The woman said that Emmett said something to her. Maybe he touched her. Her story changed depending on when and where she was telling it, but then later on, these white guys showed up and they killed poor Emmett Till. They were found not guilty after a very brief jury deliberation, and then afterwards said, yeah, we did it, but double jeopardy is such that you can't now throw them back in jail. Miss Donham's description of the events leading to the attack repeatedly shifted. One account had the boy only insulting her verbally. In court, without jurors present, she claimed that Emma had made physical contact, that he used crude sexual language. She later told the FBI that Emmett had touched her hand. When she spoke to the researcher, Timothy B. Tyson, in 2008, though, she acknowledged that it was not true that Emmett had grabbed her or made vulgar remarks. Tyson published a book about the case last year, and it appears as though it's some of that that the Justice Department is now looking more closely at Emmett Till's case. The case is a renewed and prominent test for the Justice Department, charged with investigating long-ago murders that are thought to have been racially motivated. The way Emmett Till's body was found is startling, too. And remember, it was an open casket. His mother said, I want people to see what I saw. And that was a turning point. Maybe not for the country, one singular pivot, but that was prominent when we look at what happened and what happened going forward. Emmett's cousin is Deborah Watts, and she joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Deborah. It's John Williams. You're on in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, John. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Is that a fair description, if only 60 seconds long, of the Emmett Till story?
It is. It is. I think one of the key moments also that you might want to mention is that the courage of a Chicagoan, Mamie Till Mobley, his mother, to have an open casket funeral, sharing with the world what Emmett's body looked like. And I think you mentioned, that was a pivotal moment in our history, but it's also connected with a lot of things that are happening today, John, unfortunately. And so we, again, have to still continue with this fight for justice and also try to hold those accountable for contributing, to the deaths of many of our loved ones.
What's the best case scenario for this sort of, you told me off the air they're not reopening the case. The case has never been closed. But what's the best case scenario for the renewed interest by the Justice Department in this case?
Well, Carolyn Bryant Donham is still alive, and she also penned a manuscript, I guess, of her memoirs that was done by Timothy Tyson. And, it's called Wolf Whistle. I think a real close look at what's inside of that manuscript is necessary. I think that also Carolyn Bryant needs to come forward. I think the truth needs to be told. I think this, as you mentioned, just the changing of times and the stories, not necessarily, I don't think, from memory loss, but I think from just, just the encouragement and probably the lack of justice ever being brought on a white woman against an African American male. And so I think the country has not stood up strong enough in that manner, and I think we need to stand up at this time, and Carolyn needs to answer to the charges
and
of murder.
She's still alive.
And her involvement regarding Emmett Till.
Yeah, so she's still alive. So she's essentially said that what she said, which led to Emmett's murder, is not true. I wonder why she said that then.
You know, that's you know, a lot of folks have speculated over the years of why she did that. All that I really pay attention to is what the results of it was. And Emmett at 14, very young, very vibrant, future ahead of him, is no longer alive. He was brutally murdered. The two murderers, Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam, for whatever reason, and they did sell their story to Look magazine for $4,000 and created a story around why, and that was tied to voting, you know, for African Americans. It was tied to education for, you know, desegregating school. They were totally against that. And then also relationships that individuals could have with each other, just not, you know, in support of any sort of black, white, or whatever, yeah, you know, mixture, if you will, of relationships. And so, you know, they were very clear in that Look magazine why they did it.
It's galling, isn't it? I mean, think about that. So they're mm-hmm. found not guilty, you know, by an all-white jury. They deliberated yeah. for a little over an hour and took a soda break in the middle of that. So it was kind of a foregone conclusion what's going to happen here. They get away
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
And then they sell it to Look magazine, and Look publishes that. They paid the money for that. That whole thing is offensive that way.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, it speaks to the culture. It speaks to the time. It speaks to, when we think about what's happening today, it speaks to some of the, you know, the nuanced way of, you know, that we're still dealing with, and in a direct way as well, with those same three major issues that they said why they had to beat Emmett, why they had to kill him, why they had to have him stand down. He was standing up for himself, and you know, the country still has, you know, African Americans and other people in the oppressed state still trying to stand up for freedom, you know, and justice. And so there's a lot of links from the past to the present and future, and I think we need to really pay attention to what happened with Emmett, because there is a reflection on what's happening today. We're not, you know, that was just 63 years ago, not very long, and the Emmett Till generation still remembers vividly what happened. They remember, you know, Emmett's pictures that appeared in Jet magazine. They remembered, you know, the stories. They remember Mamie speaking out. She's been recorded, and her, you know, plight and plea for justice is very well known, was captured, I know, in most of the African American newspapers and other journalists who covered her. And I think it also found itself in contemporary media as well. So, you know, her journey, you know, was a 47 years. She lived and fought for 47 years for justice, unfortunately dying in 2003. Within 2004, the case was revisited because it was a cold case. It was brought to a grand jury. Emmett's body, because of needing to personally identify him, because, you know, it was a murder case, but they, you know, the defense claimed that was not Emmett. So they had to make a positive identification. And in 2005, they exhumed his body, and the case was brought to a grand jury. In 2007, they decided no charges should be rendered against anyone for the death of Emmett Till.
Well, but the men who killed him had since passed away themselves, right?
They had. Yeah, they had. But Carolyn Bryant was still alive.
Well,
I
want to ask you about, if I may.
And along with Henry Lee Loggins, with the investigation and reports and a movie that was done by Keith Beauchamp, he identifies him and others that were alive time.
Well,
it could be brought to justice.
Deborah Watts is on the line. She's the cousin of Emmett Till and the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. I want to ask you just another couple questions about the foundation, but I wanted to clear up this thing about Carolyn Bryant Donham, the woman who essentially lied and led to Emmett's death. She's still alive, and she had said that, okay, that didn't happen. Do you want charges brought against her, and is that a possibility?
I don't want to say anything that would impede the progress or the process of, you know, of what the authorities are doing. But in my mind, yes, charges should be brought against her. I think that there's enough evidence that indicates her involvement, her presence at the time of identifying Emmett the night that he was kidnapped. I think the truth, you know, as I said, should be told. I think the records need to be straightened as well as it relates to movies and other documents that indicate, you know, that capture her story or her lie. I think Emmett's name needs to be cleared because there are many that, you know, said, oh, he knew he should have known better and he, you know, he was the cause of his death, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think they need to know that Emmett only whistled. He only whistled at Carolyn Bryant and didn't do the other things that she claimed that he did. I think also that any other folks that are involved, you know, should be prosecuted. I think they should be.
Yeah.
Investigation should take a vigorous approach. You know, it's 63 years. Carolyn is elderly, and most of the others are elderly. So they need to do it quickly, and I think we need to bring closure to it. And I really, truly hope that justice will prevail. That's justice for me and many of the next of kin that I've spoken to in my family as well.
The boy was visiting family in Money, Mississippi, from Chicago. He walks into the store owned by her and her then husband, and the whistle led to his death. What are you all doing these days? Did you not tell me the other day off the air that you guys do scholarships, that your organization is involved in things other than just Emmett Till per se?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you know, Emmett's mother, if you recall, Emmett's mother, you know, took to the ground running, if you will, with For Justice for Emmett. But not only that, she started something called the Emmett Till Players. She actually did form, along with her mother, the Emmett Till Foundation. And so they started pouring their hearts and their minds into young people. And we're trying to carry that forward as well. We're creating this legacy of hope. We're trying to build a bridge from the past to the present and future, bringing awareness to Emmett's place in history and his relevance today. Yes, we're offering scholarships. We do programming, curriculum that helps to educate and equip not only our youth, but adults as well, and inspire and empower them to achieve the fullest potential in their lives, something that Emmett did not have a chance to do. We recognize him on his birth date. We recognize him also on the date that he was murdered by asking the country to wear black and white. His birthday is coming up, John, on the 25th of July. So we'd love to have your listeners join us all across the country, if you will, with helping us to remember Emmett and say his name, and also the others that have died because of violence and hatred in our country. And then, you know, just take a photo of yourself with your wearing your black and white and post it to Facebook and tag us and just, you know, join in on this silent yet powerful protest.
I understand.
Also, we're asking people to take a moment of silence at 12 noon and just remember Emmett, say his name and all the others that have, you know, that they want to remember and that have lost their lives as well.
It's 2 weeks from tomorrow, so I'll revisit this topic then. I sure appreciate your time, and good luck to you all on all that you're doing over there, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And one thing I do want to say, John, is that, you know, we are actively allowing ourselves and accepting invitations all across the country, colleges, universities, churches, private homes, to share Emmett's story and that of, we call it the power of history, turning tragedy into triumph. Because many others, like myself and others who've been inspired by Mamie's courage and what happened to Emmett, to do something very positive. And so we want to encourage, you know, those audiences that are before us, answer their questions, but then also encourage them to be their best selves and move forward in their lives and contribute positively.
What a good idea. Deborah, in fact, stay on the line. I'm going to ask you to talk to my producer and just answer a question for us off the air, and then we'll visit again. Deborah Watts, cousin of Emmett Till. She's the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation.